chapter 6 and verse number 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command Aaron and his son, saying, This is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because it's burning upon the altar all night until the morning. And the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. Verse number 10. And the priest shall put on his linen garment and his linen breeches, and he shall put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire has consumed, how with the burnt offering on the altar. And he shall put them beside the altar. Don't you notice what he's doing with them ashes? He's taking those ashes off that altar and putting them beside the altar. Look at the next verse. And he shall put off his garment and put on his other garment, carry forth the ashes without the camp unto what kind of place? Somebody tell me. Clean place. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. Look at verse 13. And the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Thank you for sending you and be seated tonight. I want to take these verses tonight, and we're going to look at them as I preach tonight and talk to you a little bit out of these verses tonight. I love the Pentateuch. I love the first five books of the Bible. And I love studying the first five books of the Bible. And the book of Leviticus tonight is one of my favorite books in the Bible. And you got Hebrews, you got Leviticus, you got Leviticus, you got Hebrews. And I love those books tonight. And when you come to the book of Leviticus tonight, you'll find to understand this book, there are several things you need to understand about it. And the theme of the book of Leviticus tonight is holy. 91 times in 27 chapters, it talks about holy. And certainly God is a holy God. And I like how Dr. Wiersbe outlines this book. He says in chapter 1 through chapter 7, how you have a holy offering. Chapter 8 through chapter number 10, you have a holy priesthood. Chapter 11 through verse chapter 17, how you have a holy nation. But chapter 18 through chapter 27, how you have a holy land. And I want to say this tonight, you can't have holiness tonight how without an altar this evening. And I love that this afternoon. How the word altar is mentioned many times here in the word of God this evening. And on the altar is where they offered up the sacrifice, whatever sacrifice it was. In Leviticus, you'll find there are several different offerings. How that is offered up in the book of Leviticus tonight. How you have the meat offering, how you have the sin offering, you have the trespass offering, you have the peace offering. But I'll talk to you tonight about the burnt offering. How the burnt offering tonight. How that's the one that's devoted in dedication to God. How we ought to give him everything this evening. Not just part of it, but give him everything tonight. And that's what he's talking about here when you come here to this burnt offering tonight. And again, when you study about an altar in the Bible tonight, you'll find 300. And 70 times in the Word of God, it talks about an altar this evening. How the difference in Abraham and the difference in Lot that we talked about last night, how the difference is Abraham had an altar and Lot didn't have an altar. That's the difference tonight. And I want to say this tonight, an altar in the Old Testament is where God met with man and man met with God. I said that in right order. How where God met with man and man met with God. Not man and God, but God first. He's always taking the initiative in reaching down. And he always does. And I want to say this tonight. God are reaching down to you and I. And the dollars where God meets with man. And thank God man meets with God tonight. God are reaching down. And again, let me just say this tonight. You don't reach up, he reaches down to you. And then you reach up. And aren't you glad he takes the initiative? He takes initiative in salvation. He takes initiative in all of it. And it's God meet with man, and men meet with God. Hallelujah. Have you been in that place today? How that secret place? How that place where God meets with you and you meet with God? I love it tonight. When you study about an altar in the Bible, you'll find it's not the materials hath the altars made out of that makes it an altar. An altar is where God meets with man. And by the way, can I say this and that? How you can have an altar anywhere. I'm in a different church every week. I spend a lot of time in motels and prophet chambers. And the first thing I look for, if I'm away from home, It's where I'm going to have my altar that week. For years and years and years, I lived in Pastora. And I lived right beside the church. Had my last two churches. Matter of fact, my wife and I has lived in somebody else's house longer than we have our own house. And we've been married 51 years. But here's what I started saying. When I lived beside the church, man, I would make my way over to the church every day. My office was behind the church. And I make my way over to the church every morning. And in that altar, that's where I meet with God. But I'll say this to you tonight. It doesn't necessarily have to be in the church house. It can be in a motel room. It can be in a prophet's chamber. Hey, thank God, it can be out there in a pea patch. It can be out there in the pine thicket. Where you meet with God, and God meets with you. I remember this. When my wife and I first got married, 1970, 71 or 72, we built a house right below where he lived. And he still lives there tonight. He's been living in the same house now for 93 years. So he still lives there tonight. But years ago, my wife and I built a house. It's been 71 or 72, right down below where he lives. And I remember after we built that house, I went down in behind that house. After I really got right with God, I'd go down behind the house about a half a mile. You would cross the creek, and on the other side of that creek has a whole bunch of 55-gallon barrels that had been chopped up. I'm talking about Wilkes County. Has a bunch of 5-gallon buckets been chopped up. You say, whose was it? That's him. I don't know. But hear what I'm saying. On the other side of that old steel place, there was a great old big tree that had been cut down. And I went down there many, many years ago, and I cleaned me out a spot around that tree. And I made me an altar around that old stump. I want to tell you, praise God, there's a lot of good things happening around that stump. It's around that stump where I got my salvation settled. I'd been saved a couple years, but you know what the devil done? He told me I wasn't saved. Isn't it amazing? He didn't tell me that before I got saved. You know why I didn't? I didn't have anything. But anyhow, it was around that stump where I got my salvation settled. Hey, it was around that stump, 47, 48 years ago, I surrendered to the call to preach. I want to ask you a question tonight. Have you got an altar where you meet with God? Lord, I feel God on this. Have you got an altar where you meet with God every day and God meets with you every day? Oh, what a joy. Bless his name. I to meet with him every day. Are you listening? I thought about this. I'll give this and I'll preach. Sometimes I'll lay a big foundation, set a little house on it, so don't worry about the introduction. But I thought about this, and I thought about an altar. An altar is a place of surrender. And that's what this burnt sacrifice here is about. The burnt offering, it was a place of surrender. And I remember 3 years after I got saved, I heard a preacher preach out Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, where the Bible said, I beseech you therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your body. And I went to an altar that night. And I took my little wife and bowed an altar in Trap Hill, North Carolina, and surrendered that night and said, dear God, if you can take me, if you can take my mouth, my tongue, and my everything, it's yours, an altar is a place of surrender. An altar tonight is not only a place of surrender, but I'll say tonight, an altar tonight is a place of sacrifice. You remember last night, Genesis 22? Boy, did I enjoy studying that today. I'm having a problem staying away from it. Genesis 22, it was an that altar there. That was a place of sacrifice. And by the way, Abraham was going to offer his son Isaac upon the altar as a burnt sacrifice, a burnt offering unto God. You'll say, well, brother, it would have been over. No, it wouldn't have been over. Hebrews made it real clear that God would raise him from the dead. He even had to do it out of the ashes. Yes, sir. So an altar is a place of sacrifice. An altar is a place where sins are confessed. You remember Leviticus 16? On the Day of Atonement, that priest, first of all, would confess his sin. And then he would confess the sin of his family, his household. Then he would confess the sin of Israel. It's a place where sin is confessed. But an altar tonight, it's a place in our day where sinners get saved. Isn't that wonderful? I'm telling you, sinners, come down the aisle and get saved by the grace of God. I'm going to say something. Don't get mad at me. I got a problem, and I can't help it. And that's not half of it. I'm not trying to help it. I got a problem with people saying they don't want to get saved. And the preacher is saying, now, if you want to be saved, raise your hand. And I'm not against that. But I am against this. Now, while you got your hand up, ask Jesus to save you. If you ain't got enough grit and grace to walk down an aisle, I don't know whether you got saved or not. Ain't nothing wrong with an aisle. I'm preaching good. Are y'all listening to me? You say, that's old-fashioned. That's okay. I'm telling you, there ain't nothing in the world like an old-time altar where sinners come and weep the way to Calvary, thank God, and get saved by the grace of God. Are you listening to me? I believe in old-time conviction. I believe in old-time drawing power of God. Are there anybody with me in the room tonight? Are you hearing me? I will tell you, that night I got saved, bless the Lord. I drove 12 miles to get my daddy out of bed. How to get saved that night? It was a 1-2-3 thing. Hey, I know that I was going to hell. I needed God. And all of that, thank God. It's a place where sinners get saved. But I got to preach on what I'm going to preach on. Notice in this text tonight. Notice in verse, and I'm going to let you have plenty of time to go to bed. There ain't nobody in this room got any longer drive home than I do tonight. I come over 73 miles of dirt roads to get here tonight. That lying GPS. I didn't know there's any dirt roads left in America. They are in Alexander County. Are you listening to me? But it's okay. So I'm not going to preach long, but I want you to notice in this text tonight. By the way, I drive down a wagon road to get to come to church. Are y'all hearing me? I'm not complaining. I didn't have to come tonight. I get to come. I don't have to come tomorrow night, but I get to come. Hallelujah. I don't have to come Wednesday night. I get to come. Get to go to church, thank God. Who knows? He may just show up. If he shows up, he'll show out. I'm telling you this thing. He's wonderful tonight. I got to get to my next. Look at verse 10. And the priest shall put on his linen garment and his linen breeches. Now, the linen breeches, of course, was the leather type thing on top of the robe that would keep him from being burnt, that would protect his flesh. When he took those ashes off, I read something about that today. I can't go there. It was good, though. I promise you it was good. But look at the verse, linen breeches, and shall put upon his flesh. And notice this part, and take up the ashes which the fire has consumed. The fire has consumed with the burnt offering on the altar. He shall put them beside the camp. Look at verse 11, that part of it. And carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. I'm preaching tonight on this thought. Let's get the ashes off the altar. Amen. Hey, let's get the ashes off the altar tonight. I'll give you 2-3 things and I'll be done. First of all, I want you to notice in this text tonight, here is in verse 10 and 11, there's the requirement of getting the ashes off the altar. And he said that he would take those ashes up. And by the way, in verse 12, he did that on a daily basis. Every day the ashes would be carried out. And he'd take those ashes off that altar. And I want to say to you and I this evening, hey, we need to get the ashes off the altar. Again, in verse number 11, he said, carry them unto a clean place. You know why? Because the ashes is a type or a picture of sin. And by the way, ashes can't help you physically, either one. Ashes won't do nothing but hurt you. Ashes, you breathe the dust of ashes, it'll make you sick. There's no strength in ashes. There's no heat in ashes. And when you said about these ashes he took off the altar, and I'll say they took them out unto a clean place. And I'll say to you, first of all tonight, the requirement of getting the ashes off the altar. Now the reason he got the ashes off the altar is pretty obvious. It was to keep the sacrifice hot. Because had he not got the ashes off, the sacrifice would not have been hot. And may I say to you this afternoon, God wants you and I, on a regular daily basis, take the ashes off the altar. Can I do an illustration? Now I realize if you're 30 years on under, for the next 15 minutes, you can go ahead and take a nap. Because you're not going to understand this illustration. Anybody in this room got any idea what this is? Huh? Yeah. Y'all, hey Jesse, you know what this is? Huh? Yeah. You're a smart man. Are you married? Man, smart as you are to be married. You married? You thinking about it? I remember growing up, Jerry can tell this better than I can tell it, but I remember growing up, our house was heated with wood. Wood heat is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful way of heating. It will heat you about 6 or 7 times. I don't have time to go there. But I remember going up in the old house we was raised in. The folk down the road, we were poor people. And the folk down the road had reference to us as the poorer people. So I've never known what an oil circulator was. Do you know what an oil circulator is? I ain't no need to ask you that. We never had an oil. The big shots only had oil circulators. We never had them. You remember the oil barrel outside? Anybody alive in this room? Are y'all listening to me? We never got down far enough down the road to have an oil circulator. I remember when they had a fireplace. And let's want to get ready to say, I'm going somewhere with this. It's 100% impossible to get warm by a fireplace. But I remember when we got the Ashley wood heater. My brothers and I, Jerry and Larry and myself, we slept in the very back part of the house. And the old house that we was raised in, my youngins don't believe this, it was cold. And when the wind would blow, my mama bought them old 50-cent curtains, plastic, from down at Smitty's department store. How when the wind would blow, those curtains would stand straight out. I'm telling you, it was cold. And the only reason I didn't freeze to death when I was a boy was because I was a baby boy and I slept between him and my other brother. Did I tell y'all it was cold? And I remember getting out of the bed. Our bedroom was the farthest one from the heater. I remember many times. I'd get out of the bed. There was no heat in the back part of that house. And I'd get out of the bed and I'd start to the heater, to the front room. And it was way out in front. And when I'd get out of the bed and put my foot on the ground or the floor, just well bend the ground, I stuck. My feet froze to the floor. And I would break loose and take off to the heater. And I'd get in there, and there's a many a time I remember my daddy. He'd be building a fire. And he'd be taking the ashes out of the stove. I'm going somewhere with this. He'd take the ashes out of the stove. No, I got that wrong. He took the ashes out of the heater. There's a difference in a heater and a stove. Heaters where you get warm. Stove where you cook cornbread and pintos. Hallelujah, hold my mule while I shout. We get in our daddy and be taking those ashes. Have the bottom part of that Ashley wood heater. And he pulled that ice box out. And I'd say, Daddy, build a fire, it's cold. And he'd say, well, we got to get all the ashes out. He'd begin to shovel those ashes that fell down on each side of the ice box. I thought I was going to freeze to death. I thought I was going to die. I don't know how you feel right before you die when you freeze to death, but I was right there at it many times. And he's standing there shoveling them ashes. Well, it fell down beside the ash box. I'm saying, Daddy, we're cold. Son, just wait a minute. We're going to build a fire in a minute. Just wait a minute. He'd begin to, and by the way, I have a wood heater in my basement right now. I built a new house 4 years ago. We have a heat pump. And when they was laying the brick on my house, I made the guy lay my brick, laying the brick, build me a chimney. He said, "Preacher, you know you're not going to put a chimney on the backside of this beautiful home." I said, "I'm paying you, lay the brick." And he built me a chimney behind. And in my basement, I have a Papa Bear heater. I wish y'all nod your heads or do something. Papa Bear, you know what I'm talking about? Why don't you help me pray and get my light bill down? You know how much it was last month? $61. 1,825 square feet. And Daddy would begin to shovel them ashes on each side of that ash box where it fell. And I'm sitting there freezing to death. And I said, "Daddy, listen to me. We need a fire." He said, "Son, you can't have a good fire till you get all the ashes out." Boy, I got thinking about that. You know, you can't have a good fire. Those ashes would dampen. How it wouldn't burn like it ought to. And to make matters worse, after he got done with that instrument, he come out with another instrument. Anybody know what that is? I told you you're 30 years old and under, go to sleep. But listen, that's called an ice rake. This will do what this won't do. This only does so much. But this one here, I'm going somewhere with this. This one here reaches way back yonder. And the back part of the heater, the secret part, where nobody sees. You know what this, I call this one? I call this John 1:9. Now, Lord, if I've sinned today, you can go ahead and take that word elf off. Did y'all get what I just said? There ain't no elf about it. The Lord, you know, the Bible said, if we'll confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our and cleanse us. And Lord, that's John 1:9. We're getting them ashes off so we can get everything taken care of. We're getting them John 1:9 ashes off. But it's not the John 1:9, them ashes, this one that's killing our churches. Let me tell you what's killing our churches tonight. Some ashes that's way back yonder that nobody sees but you and God. And them thoughts, them wicked thoughts, them things that's not right, them secret sins is hid. It's a way, it's not necessarily this one that's hurting us too much. I'm preaching good. I like the way y'all looking at me. But it's them away back here in the back part. Oh, God, search my heart. Know my thoughts. Know my intent. Know my motive tonight. Are y'all here? Listen, you ever get down to pray and you say, "Now, dear Lord, I sure do need you." And all of a sudden on the screen, some ashes comes up. And you know about them ashes. And I'll say, "Dear Lord, I want you to use me. I want you to help me." And all of a sudden on my prayer screen, there are some ashes that come up. And the Holy Ghost says, "You remember 3 hours ago when you was just a little bit short with your wife? Ooh. And you remember your little attitude?" And I say, "Lord, I do remember that. But Lord, do you remember she started it? It wasn't me. She's the one initiated. She's the one started it." Hey, are y'all hearing me preach tonight? That priest would take those ashes. The reason he got them off, not just part of them, and not just the John 1:9 daily stuff, but I'm talking about a way back there in the back corner of our heart where nobody knows anything about it but you. Hey, those wicked thoughts, those things that should not be there, how that hinders the work of God. And you know why the sacrifice is not hot? Because there's ashes on the altar, and as long as there's ashes on the altar, hey, the sacrifice will not be hot. By the way, you and I are the sacrifice. Y'all get that? Yeah, we're it. We're to be laid on an altar. And I'll tell you something, it's my job and your job to stay warm and fervent for God. I thought about this, listen to me. The reason the priest in verse 10 and 11 took those ashes off was because the sacrifice and the fire could not burn like it ought to burn. But when you get all the ashes out of the heater and get it all cleaned out, put the ash box back in, put a piece of newspaper, the part's got the news on it, that's what you need to burn. And put you some pine knots in there and some dry wood in there and lighter. I burn all my heater wood. Oh, let me say that wrong. I cut all my heater wood 2 years ahead of time. If Jesus come tonight, whoever's left behind's got wood for 2 years. Them old green stuff don't do you no good. Gone's up the chimney. Some of you guys help me tonight. But when you get that wood good and dry, and I want to say, when I get them ashes out of my heater and pull all that out and put that kindling in there, get light that fire. Son, I want to tell you that thing can begin to... Y'all know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about it draws. And I'm not talking about a camel either. Are you listening? I'm talking about it draws. I'm talking about it's got air. And it's got breath. And it's got air. Hey, listen to me now. You know how the Holy Ghost can't blow? And the Holy Ghost can't breathe? And the wind of God can't blow tonight? It's because of those secret ashes that nobody knows anything about. But ourselves knows tonight. Are you listening? Am I preaching okay? Is everybody all right? Are you listening to me? I'm talking about getting you to God. And you know how to get to God. You've been there many times. And you got a man of God that takes you there on that regular basis. And you got a choir director that takes you there on the singing. But I'll tell you something tonight. That fire will not burn. I thought about this first one I said in the day. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we're sealed to their redemption. That word grieve means to smother. And my son is in the fire department, and he tells me, I don't know anything about this, but he tells me there's some times they'll go to a house fire, and the house will be on fire, and they'll shut one room completely off. That's on fire, and they'll shut the door and shut the window, and it won't be long, it'll smother itself out, because it doesn't have any oxygen, it doesn't have any air to keep it burning. I hope somebody will get my drift tonight. I tell you what we need in these days. We need a good fresh touch and a good fresh breeze from the third heaven tonight. And God blow across our soul one more time and cause us to get, hallelujah, I love it, man. I tell you, when the breath of God and God comes in and the wind begins to blow, are you listening? But to get that done and to get that fire burning, not only them right there, but I'm talking about these back here. And I about got in the flesh last night. Flesh. Not flush. Flesh. I about got in the flesh last night. Forgive me for not preaching good last night. I was tired. I preached this morning and drove down here. And if you can drive in the traffic on the interstate on the weekend and not cuss and backslide, you're probably safe. So, but I had a hard time getting here yesterday. But here I started to say, I was going home last night, and I was going up, and I made a mistake by getting on Interstate 77. You go down 40, no, you don't. You go down 4201, and go on 77, go up two exits, get off, turn right, come 5 miles, turn right, and you'll see my house. But I made a mistake by getting on the interstate last night, 77. I had no more than got on it, and went by as far as near the graveyard. And all I seen was red lights, tail lights. They've been working on that road since Abraham Lincoln was born. I'm talking about on Sunday night, 9:30, give out. He said, what you thought about doing? I'll tell you this, I had to get this out this morning. Are you listening? I didn't say it to my wife. Hey, hear me tonight, hear me real. I was coming home some time ago from Georgia. And I hadn't been home in 2 weeks. Man, I was tired. I don't normally drive at night. I have a cataract on my left eye. Is that what you call it? Is that what you call them things? Did I say Cadillac or cataract? And I was driving home too from Georgia. Had been home 2 weeks. I get in Statesville. Do I need to say anything else? Sunday was backed up. But the left lane was open. And you could go probably a mile and a half in the left lane before you got completely stopped. But these two 18-wheelers got side by side. If you're a truck driver in here tonight, God bless you. I like you, but I don't like them all. Got side by side, preacher, and blocked both lanes. I have a friend I carry me everywhere. It holds 10. And I told my wife, I said, I believe it'd be the will of God for me to pull right up beside of him and take my 9mm, not shoot him, but shoot his tire. Are you listening? You know what I had to do? I didn't tell her that because she's asleep. But I thought it. You know what I had to do? Birds quit singing. Yeah. Are y'all hearing me tonight? I didn't say it, but in my mind. Hey, hear me tonight. I got to get off this first point. Listen to me. Hey, get the ashes off the altar. If you want the sacrifice to stay hot tonight, oh, my soul, this is necessary. But I'll tell you something. It takes time and effort to walk with God and get the ashes off the altar and spend time with the Lord. Are you listening? I'm not going to preach the last two points, but listen to this. If there's anything I've learned in the ministry, it's this right here. God does not get in a hurry. You're not going to put God in a box and say, Lord, we got from 10 to 12. Whatever you're going to do, do it. Well, I've seen the Holy Ghost mess that up a many a time. I remember 2016 at our youth camp. Boy, it broke out on Monday night. Monday night. It broke out on Monday night. Buddy, I'll tell you, it went, maybe to midnight. I don't know how long. 5 weeks later, it was still going. Every night except the weekend Saturday. 5 weeks later. And during that meeting, I saw 200 some people get saved. And I'm not talking about this religious church. I'm talking about sinners got saved. 9 men preaching the word of God. Some of them out preaching tonight. I got called to preach in that meeting. Here's what I found out in that meeting. I found this out. Hey, God doesn't get in a hurry. God doesn't work on my schedule. God doesn't work on my timetable. God does as he wills, as he wants, when he wants to, and how he wants to. And that says nobody nothing. That's God. Are you listening? And I'm not just for coming in and staying at midnight. I love your preacher. I love your preacher. I love the way he operates his service. I preach for a preacher sometime. They'll gom around an hour and a half. Do y'all know what the word gom means? That's a Yakin County word. Gom around. Preached for a guy not long ago. Had 11 songs before I preached. Hour and 15 minutes dead or not. Now if God's in it, let her rip. But if God ain't in it, let's get on with the program. I love the way this preacher does his service. I like it. Gets me in the pulpit by 20 after 6. Right now it's only 2 minutes after 7. And in Alabama. Oh, yeah. Hey, I'm not just for rushing things, but I am for keeping things moving. But if God's in it, listen to me, friend. I found out a long time ago, if you're going to live a holy life and walk with God, that takes time to be holy. And it takes time. God doesn't get in a hurry. I want to tell you, sometimes I'll go to my private place and the Lord won't let me loose for a long time. Listen, we got to get the ashes off the altar to keep the sacrifice hot. Number two, and I'm done. I want to say, number one, the requirement to get the ashes off. I'm going to skip this. Hey, a lot of things. I'm going to skip this. Number two, the reason, and I've done preaching, to get the ashes off. You know why the priest got the ashes off the altar? To keep that sacrifice hot. And you know what we got to do if we're going to stay fervent for God? I'm preaching to Brother Barker tonight. I got to keep all them ashes off that altar. Not them that you can see, but them in our mind and our hearts that nobody knows anything about. It will dampen the wind. It will keep the wind from blowing. It'll keep the heater from getting hot. It'll keep the sacrifice from getting hot. And hear me real good. The reason you get them off is to keep the sacrifice hot. And I'll just say this real quick tonight. I refuse to cool off. I refuse to shut up. I refuse to sit down. I refuse to quit. You say, preacher, do you know how old you are? I do. I'm 51. God has no record before that. So I got a long time to go. I know this. I know I've got more miles behind me than I do in front of me. So I want to tell you tonight, by the grace of God, I want to keep the sacrifice hot. By the grace of God, I refuse to cool off. I see that in preachers sometimes. And I know health reasons sometimes they have to slow down. I know that. I realize that. But I'll say this tonight. I was sitting beside my daddy's bed, and my brother was too, the night he went to heaven. He didn't cool off. He didn't shut up. Are y'all hearing me? Stayed fervent for God to his last breath. Laying that old black bed, eat up with cancer. That old black back Schofield Bible laying right beside of it. And he preached, hey, hear me tonight. I refuse to shut up. Hey, I refuse to sit up. Hey, I refuse to quit tonight. Stay in our, stay fervent for God. You keep the sacrifice hot. The reason for getting the ashes off is keep the sacrifice hot. If you saw on the internet what I'm getting ready to say, call me and tell me where you've seen it. Some ding-a-ling. Do you know what a ding-a-ling is? You don't want me to give you the definition. Some ding-a-ling spread across the internet that Brother Barker has retired. If I'm retired, I'd hate to go to work. I preach about every day of my life. Are you listening to me? I'm not going to retire, man. I just want to refire. I want to keep the sacrifice hot. I want to say, hey, I'm excited about serving God. Hey, but I get to go preach. Oh, you hear me tonight? I get to. I love it. I enjoy it tonight. Are you listening? The reason to get the ashes off. The qualifications for getting ashes off. But let me give you this and I'm done. There's the reward. What's the reward here of getting the ashes off? Let me just bring it right down home and I'm done. Here it is. The reward of getting the ashes off. I'm going to read it to you. Wherefore, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Those sacrifices in the Old Testament, I'm not going into all of them, was carefully examined by the high priest before they was ever used. Whether it be a lamb, whether it be a turtle dove, it was carefully examined. And if they wasn't examined and they didn't pass the test, they were thrown out and they was not used. Are you listening to me? That was not acceptable. And I'll say this tonight. The reason I want to get the ashes off and keep the sacrifice hot is because I want to be accepted of him. Now, I've done been accepted in the beloved. Nothing's never going to change that. I'm not talking about sins. I'm talking about service. And I'll say this tonight. Listen to me. I have a life's goal. Can I give y'all my life's goal tonight? I want you to listen to this. My life's goal is this, to hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And by the way, he's not going to reward you and I because of what size we do, what size ministry. But he's going to reward you and I because of the sort that we do. And I want you to listen to me. My life's goal is not to have 500 acres of land. Man, you got to pay tax on that. My life's goal is not to have a new set of golf clubs. I quit playing. They don't mow where I play. My life's goal is not to have a deer rifle. Oh, no, I got that old 7.42 Remington. I don't know if you can get the deers in this room. I've killed that thing or not. Son, you're talking about a buck. I seen one right here last night. Right here. I was getting a 9mm. Are y'all listening? My life's goal is not to have a new deer rifle. My life's goal is not to drive a new Cadillac. If you got one, God bless you. My life's goal is to hear him say one day, and this is more realer tonight, and it's getting more realer every day because I'm getting closer, is to hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. If I can hear him say that, I mean what I'm saying, church. I'm too old to say things I don't mean. If I can hear him say that, that's my life's goal. I don't want to sound haughty or proud because I deserve nothing. I ought to be in hell. I know that. I don't know anywhere I want to go preach. I'm not trying to climb the ladder, religious ladder among the brethren. I give God two things when he took me out of the pasture and put me in evangelism. I give him two books. I give him my pocketbook and my date book. And I've never called a preacher, never, and asked for a place to preach, never. God gave me my support two times, and I never even called a preacher. Hear me tonight. My life's goal is not to go somewhere to the big places, climb the ladder of the brethren. I don't care anything about that stuff. But my life's goal is to get him smile on my life, feel his touch every once in a while, feel his breeze every once in a while. I don't know where that brother is out in the prayer room tonight, but he did an excellent job. And I love what he said. He said God gets in the log truck with him. Praise God, he get on the Kubota tractor with me every once in a while. Are y'all hearing me? But to do that, them, I can't get with this one. Are you listening? Are you listening? Look at verse 11. And he shall put off his garment and put on the other garments and carry forth the ashes unto, carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. You know what you need to do with the ashes tonight? You need to let him cleanse them. Clean them. Wash them. Clean them. Elijah said in 1 Kings 18, he told the people, he said, come near. And he repaired the altar of God. I wonder what would happen tonight if I'd be in this room. Somebody come to the piano and organ so I quit preaching. But I wonder what would happen tonight if everybody in the church would repair the altar. Look up here and listen to this. There'll never be a time in your life that you have to ask God to forgive you for using the altar too much. Can I say that again? There'll never be a time in your life that you have to ask God to forgive you for using the altar too much. I go to church and I ask the Lord, I said, give me a reason to go to the altar tonight. Show me. Listen, I want to live on the altar. Altar's where God meets with man and man meets with God. I wonder tonight if there's somebody in the building. Well, you don't have a problem with that shovel. That daily stuff, we don't have a problem confessing that. But way back there in the dark corner of our hearts, search me, O God, Psalm 139. And try me, know my way. Lamentation 3:40. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. I'm not cussed today. I'm not lied today. I'm not drunk any Bud Dumber today. I'm not smoked any juju weed today. But it's not that that's killing us. It's them secret things. And I want all that took care of that I might have his sweet presence. Hallelujah. Man, sweeter gets the journey. Every day, our Heavenly Father, as we stand to our feet,